Once was lost, but now am found, is the title of our sermon this morning, taken from Luke chapter 15, 3 to 24. Our text gives to us three stories, three heartwarming stories, three parables, stories of everyday life, with a spiritual lesson to strengthen our faith in God. These three parables concerns things that were lost and then were found. The sheep, the coin, and the son. And these three stories gave happy endings. You know, when you read a story, you listen to an account of life. Well, you want to look at the end of the story. What will it be? And we want to submit to you that life with God always brings with it a happy ending. If you have God with you, well, we are expecting that life indeed will be blessings and blessings forevermore. And that is a truth that we want to be strengthened by as we look at these three stories. The lost sheep that was found by the shepherd in the wilderness. The lost coin that was lost, that was found by the woman in the house. And the lost son who returned home to the embracing arms of his father. These three parables symbolically depict for us the central theme of Luke's gospel: God's love for his lost children and the joy he experiences when they return. I want to submit to you that the main actor of the story is the seeker. The shepherd who went all out to find his lost sheep because it was lost and unable to find its way back to the fold. And the lost coin lost in the home where the woman has to search with all her might in order to find it. And the lost son, whose father patiently waited for his son to return home. The first thought, the seeker. This is a picture of God's love for us, that he sent his son, depicted in these three stories of the seeker. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And the way in which the lost is finally found tells us one aspect of God's love for lost sinners. Do you know what is that? Well, it is the irresistible love of God, a love that will not let us go till he has blessed us. You know, our coming for worship this morning, our seeking the Lord in our life didn't come because we were clever enough to find our way back home. But we were lost. We were terribly lost. The message is this, as you study this story, is that we have a God who knows what is going on in our lives and who knows enough and cares enough to reach out to us, to find us. And It's wonderful, isn't it? To get to know that we are not alone in this world. Oftentimes, when we are faced with trials, when we are faced with sufferings, when we are faced with difficulties, relationship problems, environmental problems, and it eats us up, it causes us to be weak, to be discouraged, to be despondent, to be discouraged, well, discomfited oftentimes. Doubts come into our hearts. But this story that is given to us, provide for us, the story of the irresistible love of God that comes to seek out lost sinners. And we want to meditate, we want to think concerning this love that God has for you. And I would like to express to you the comfort and the assurance and the ability of our God to do good to us, to help us. It's simply amazing. And that is something that we want to think about. You see, oftentimes when we are faced with a challenge in life, we feel that that's a roadblock, that's a high wall, that's an impasse. But with God, you'd find nothing is impossible. And you know, the story of humankind is the story of God coming to dwell with men. Do you know that in the beginning, when nothing was created, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, is happy in that fellowship of unity in heaven, rejoicing. That joy was so great, that joy was so powerfully fulfilling, and then was conceived in the heart of God to make man in his image, in the infinite wisdom of God. Oh, he created man. And you know, the wonderful thing about God and his relationship with us is that he's totally for us. Why do I say that? Because when God made the entire universe, if you read the Genesis account, right, you find that the focus was upon the earth. And when he made the inhabited earth, you find that man was the focus of that creative act. Right at the end of everything, he placed man in that created paradise. Right? He created the most habitable world. He brought the fishes of the sea. He brought the flying fowls of the air, the flowers, and everything that was so beautiful. And he places man in it. That is a picture of God's love. But it did not stop there. When man strayed from him, when man would choose not to follow and receive the blessing that God would want to give to them, God's love for them was not waning, was never weak. And that is a thought that we want to help us to see and help us to understand, right, this God of love, how it's that love is so irresistible. Often we find ourselves lacking, unable to guide ourselves, unable to find our way through life. Have you had that feeling before? I had before I became a Christian. Am I still lost after I become a Christian, after I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior? I would say no. Because when I received Him into my life, I received Him into my heart, He gives to me His Word. He gives to me His Spirit. to help me navigate life successfully, victoriously, beautifully. And this is a story of God's love for His people. And it's so wonderful that our Lord would show us His very presence. God is a spirit, you can't see Him. But He manifests Himself to us by His Son, in order that we may understand and know the heart of God. And here is our Lord Himself giving to us three simple stories, connecting with us. Right? If you read the stories, you find that it gives great relevance to our life, isn't it? Because it showed to us, right, that God that is so tangible, and how He acts and how He approaches the lost sinners like us. And this is a key thought that we want to bring for our meditation. Unable to find our way through life, but God will not leave us without help, but He reaches out to us. That is what this service is all about. Right? God's love came to us, touching the hearts of the leaders of this church, right, to set up a worship service so that the people of God may experience the love of God, may experience the care of God through a very hard and cruel world that we lived in. And so this is a thought for our meditation. This is God's amazing grace, His favor for us, notwithstanding who we are. Oftentimes we said to ourselves, we look at our sins and how anyone, right, who would know us very well, right, would maybe turn off from us. And yet, you see, God did not forsake us. And, you know, there are times when we meet people and we said, oh yeah, this person, that person is so incorrigible, cannot be helped. So difficult. But you see here that is an expression of our weakness, an expression of impossibility. But here, what these stories bring to us is that we have a God who would come to us, who would reach out to us. And His love, His ability, His wisdom to reach out for the lost goes beyond our limited capacity. Beyond us. How He reaches out to us when we are lost. And yet, you see, God has no hands and feet on earth, but the hands and feet of His children. Filled with His love, nourished by His love, equipped by His love to go out and reach out to a dying world. Right? The Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And so we want to meditate and think about the expression of the love of the seeker, is what we must learn. As God brings us, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to in contact with people, He will arrange for us to meet and to minister when we are spiritually prepared, when we are equipped. They could be our own children, our own loved ones, our friends, our employers, our employees, that loves brings with it an energy for action. This is what you see in the parable. Right? There is an energy that is expressed there by the seeker. And this love is described in verse 20 of our text as compassion. Right? The word that is used in verse 20 of our text, you see. And he rose, the son, and came to his father. And when he was yet a way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him. This is a description of a deep kind of love that is stirred within the parts, the inside of your body. This moving of the heart to see and feel the need of the people around. This is what Jesus came to do in Matthew's gospel. Jesus came and Jesus said, it was described how he went about all the cities and the villages in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And he saw the multitude. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep without shepherd. Well, this is the Father's love for the Son. He had compassion upon the Son, right, who was so unworthy. Right? And here is described for us God's love and how that love is translated to us, right, in that the woman in verse 8 of our text who sought, right, that piece of silver that was lost in the house. Well, how, you know, she spared no effort to comb the entire house to be sure that he found that one lost coin. You know, we can be coming to the house of God. We can be in the house of God within the means of grace and yet be lost. And here you see the Father coming to seek the lost. That's the picture of the lost coin. How the woman took great pains, diligently comb every nook and corner of the house. You know, that coin may be found. That's the picture of God's love. How diligently God would seek us out. Sometimes we think, you know, that in the difficulties of life that cause us to be, you know, alone, away from home perhaps, away from help, that we have come to a stage of a predicament where help seem, you know, to be impossible. But here you see a picture of our God that would come and seek and find the lost, right, even in the most impossible unexpected situation, right, in the house. So we want to think and consider how the diligence of the seeker. And also, you see, all three of them acted at the right time to bear fruit in the labor. All three of them acted the shepherd went out to seek the sheep. There was an effort, but there was also a wise energy that came in that seeking so that the sheep was found. The shepherd knew where the sheep was trapped, and the shepherd went and seek and sought and find. And this is the picture of God reaching out to us. It was hard work, we said. And it's also hard work. There was a missionary to China by the name of Jonathan Goforth. And he sang a chorus as a prayer that reflected on his ministry. He ministered in China during the time of the Boxer Rebellion and suffered greatly for the cause of the gospel to bring Christ to the suffering Chinese. And we all are a lot of our spiritual root to this man. And there was this chorus that he sang, "Lord crucified, give me a heart like thine. Teach me to love the dying souls of men. Oh, keep my heart in closest touch with thee, and give me love, pure Calvary love, to bring the lost to thee." That's a picture of God's love. How he was moved in the heart to go to a distant land. How he would bear great loss to his family, and great suffering, in order that he may go and find, carry that message of the gospel. And then we want to think also, what the fruit of the gospel, the fruit of the seeker, that when he found the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, there was that great rejoicing that came so happy. And it's a word that you see reverberating in our text that is given. It is so happy because the sheep was found. Verse 5 of our text tells us. And when he found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he hath cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors and say to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth." So here you see the joy that comes with a seeker. And we were studying with our youth in our church on the book of Revelation. And the Bible tells us how in Genesis, in Revelation chapter 16, at the seventh vial judgment, all the islands fled away. All the islands fled away. There will come a time when God will judge the world with such a great destruction that all will be lost. And as I think of where we are on a little island, we realize how weak we are. How, you know, this world is not our home. How one day all of this is going to be destroyed. And what is left? What is left is the souls of men and women. All the material things of this world will be destroyed in the judgment of God. And you see here, at that time, the picture was given of the multitude of men and women who were saved, who received the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, bowing in worship, so happy that we have arrived home, that God has saved us. This is this rejoicing, we said, is a fruit of a compassionate heart, one that is kind and willing to render wisdom and help. We'll find with it a sense of accomplishment and happiness that you will indeed find when you do something good, right, to help someone, to share the gospel, to share the good news, to help. And you seek, and you also see the heart of the Father who was waiting for the Son to return. He waited. He was waiting day in, day out. You know, for those of us who have children, and the children goes out perhaps to school or for certain activities and this and that, in your heart as a father, do you feel that longing? That you go to the window and you would wait and you would see and you would look and to find if he will be back. Well, I find myself doing that. Going to the window, hey, he's a little bit late. He's not here yet. You know, he's supposed to be back already. What happened? Right, there is a moving of the heart. There is a great concern in your heart. You know, the question is asked too often, why did God put us into families? Have you ever wondered why? You have a father and you have a mother, and you know, God gives to us children. Why did God make us into families and family of societies? Well, in societies, well, you see that in heaven, there's only one big family. The Father in heaven and all of us, His children. And on earth, when God created the family, it is the way for us to be able to understand what that relationship will be in eternity when we are with the Father. The care of the Father for the Son. So great. Right? If you're not a father, or all of us, you know, have a father, right? And you can see, you know, that enactment of that love, that relationship, right? A natural response to want to do good, to a natural response to do want to do something for the Son. And this is the picture that the Lord wants us to see, right? How the Father was longing and wanted to be connected with the Son. Right? This is God, a picture of God with us in eternity when we are there in heaven. Right? Father in heaven, all of us, His children. Verse 20 of our text says, and he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the father said to his servants, verse 22, bring forth the best robe and put on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Wow. So happy, right? Without shoes. A coat. Half uncladded. Cold. And cook a warm meal. You know, when you are home with your parents, right, you find father, mother at home preparing a meal for you. Whether it's something that simple, bowl of noodles or a plate of rice, you relish it, right? Because you know it was prepared
painstakingly, lovingly, and then placed in front of you, and you know, wow, you can devour it. This is also the picture of the Father's love for us. So happy, you know. That is a picture of the Father's care for us. He says, "For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And you notice that the Father's response is spontaneous, and the Father's response is willing. He did not say, "You unworthy son." He did not say, "You wasted my hard-earned savings. You squandered your life away." No! This is how the Lord loves us. And that's a picture that the Lord wants us to see. Isn't it a great cause for rejoicing? Because one day, as the children of God, you are going to be there in heaven with your Father in heaven, rejoicing, and He is going to make for you in the heavens, new heavens and the new earth, the best feast, the best robe, the best fatted calf that you can ever think of. And He wants to usher you there. And He's preparing you. And so that's the thought concerning the seeker. Right? A few things that we have talked about. Right? How He reached out. How that love was so irresistible. Right? How there was that rejoicing that comes with it. And there was so spontaneous, so willing. And then we look at the son, or the lost. The character and the thoughts and the situation of the lost is well depicted for us in these three stories. The first one tells us about the sheep that was lost, unable to find its way back. There are those that, you know, the Lord may cause you to reach out to, where you have to take the pains, go out of the way in order to help them. If you won't go, it's going to be stuck there in the bramble bushes and it's going to die there. That's the sheep that was lost, that the shepherd had to go all out to reach. These are these three stories give to us the three kinds of people in the world today. Very all-encompassing, you know. And it gives to us the thoughts. We said the what is going on in the mind of the lost. And what kind of actions need to be taken in order to reach this, the lost ones. So the lost sheep, right, you'll find was lost and unable to find its way home. And the shepherd, you see, had to go out of its way in order to find that lost sheep. So, are there somebody, you know, some people in your life that may come your way, or that is in your life now, that is totally lost? If you don't, you know, make an effort, do something for them, they are going to be stranded there. They are going to be lost. And God is going to use you to be that good helper for that someone. If you have understood the minds and the predicament of the lost. So that's the first description of the lost that is given there. And the second is a description of the lost coin.
Right? We said that the lost coin was lost in the home. And oftentimes, you find that in the most unlikely situation, someone is lost. When you think that, you know, that someone is just there within that house. But here, you see that person was within that house, but lost, right? The coin was in the house, within reach, somewhere, you know, within, you know, in safety, as it were, right? The sheep was out there in the, you know, in the open, vulnerable. But here in the safe recesses of the house, there is that lost soul inside there. So it tells us not to take for granted. You know, when you look at someone and you say, oh yeah, this person, it looks to me like, you know, he's doing well spiritually. Looks to me like he's okay. Seem no problem. But if you would take time to pray and seek the Lord may reveal to you that perhaps there's someone within your midst that is in trouble, that needs help, and you have to take that effort, right, to seek that out, or seek that, well, that lost coin. You have to go and dig, perhaps, you know, in the somewhere lost within the dirt, cannot be clearly seen. So you have to be unearthed. And then there's the story of the lost son. That is a wonderful picture, not just of God's love, but of the waywardness of the human depravity. Our fallenness, how, you know, our feet just will not stay still. We have that tendency to stray. And we have that tendency to go away. And, you know, much as it is said to you, no, don't. Or there is that tendency within us to want to stray and move away. And this is the story of the son. Right? While the father was still alive, he says to the father, give me my inheritance. You get your inheritance only after the father is gone. But when the father is alive, he says to his father, give me my inheritance. Wow, it must have pained the father. He says, I no longer need you. I can run my own life now. And so he went. And our text tells us, right, he divided unto his living, and not many days after the son gathered all together and took his journey, verse 13 says, into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a famine in that land. So, you know, on our own, when we are lost and we insist to go our own way, you'll find that, you know, oftentimes when we are gripped by ourselves, we don't see our problem until we reach rock bottom, as it were. But when you hit the bottom, that's where you wake up. And this was what happened to the son. He came to himself. He suffered. And he realized that he had done wrong. And our text tells us he was asked to go and feed pigs. You know, for the Jewish people, the pig is something that you want to stay away from.
in the sense that, you know, you don't want to get too close. And here it said that he, you know, he's supposed to go and feed the pigs and to eat the food, right, that they eat. So he said, "Wow, this is terrible." Right, and he says, "How many of my father's servants live better than I am?" He came to himself. He says, "I'm no longer worthy." He says, "I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven." So there are that type of a person that, you know, you there is not much you can do. You want to reach out to them, you have given your best effort, and it's still not enough. They would still go, and your heart pain and your heart ached for that one. And what do you do? Well, you see here how the father would allow the son to go, in the sense that, you know, allow God to work out his will in his life so that he may finally learn and understand the privilege that he has as the Father's Son. When we reach heaven, then we would know the great privilege that we have as his children. Today we may not realize how he saved us from eternal hellfire and bring us on the way to heaven. But a day will come when we will understand. And here is a picture of how the son came to himself. How he realizes that he is undone. He realizes that he needed help. He realizes that... And this is a picture of the human soul. You know, sometimes you just have to be very patient. You just have to be very... long-suffering, and to await. And this was what happened for the son to come back. And here the picture of the lost son is this, that he came and he came to himself. And that's a picture of how he came back to God. And the word that is repeated there throughout the text is the word repentance. How he came to himself, how he realizes that he cannot order his own life, how he realizes that he's undone. Have you come to that stage in your life where you realize that you cannot exist without God? Well, for me, I came to that understanding in my life. And I realized that Jesus Christ is the only solution to life's problem. If I have him, I have everything. And without him, I have nothing. And that begins that journey of cleaving and hanging on to God for my life. I dare not move away. Because if I move away, I would, you know, experience the loss of God's presence and blessings and wisdom and help for my life. And the Lord wants us to, you know, in that study, to help us to see the privilege that we have as God's children, how he has saved us, how we don't want to go back to the old life again, the old life of sin. God has given to us the beauty of holiness, and we understand what it is, how precious it is. We don't want to go back to the fields of sin. There was this man who wrote our closing hymn, Amazing Grace. He was called John Newton. And he, you know, his story is wonderful. There is one thing that he left behind in his entire life, and that's this hymn. He was raised, as it were, in a Christian family. Born, mother loved him so much. Teach him the scriptures, pray with him, pray for him, hoping that, you know, in the future, he would be a useful person for God. Mother taught him the scriptures. But at the age of 6 or 7, mother suddenly died. And he was alone in a cruel world. With father, he found little help. And he was consigned to the seas as a sailor, where he lived his life experiencing the greatest of all the sins that a man could ever commit. All that, you know, which is heinous and dirty in the sight of God, this man did, John Newton. And the amazing grace of God was that he was saved. How was he saved? Well, he was saved in a storm. The ship was in the midst of a great storm for many days. And he knew that, you know, the ship is going to go down. But he valued his life. And that's one thing that, you know, that was saving grace for him. He valued his life. And he wanted to be saved. He didn't want to perish in the waters. And what did he do? Well, he kneeled down there and then. He remembered his mother's God. And he cried out to his mother's God for mercy. And God saved him. God stilled the storm. He did not die. But he came around, just like this son here. He came around to himself. He realized how terrible he was as a straying sinner. And it's interesting. Mother died many years ago. He was already a big man. But mother must have committed him to God in prayer. And the mother's prayer did not go unanswered. Mother's prayer was heard. Although mother could not have that privilege to see the fruit of her labor in prayer, but by faith, mother committed this son to God. And this is what we must do for the lost. Oftentimes, we cannot do much, as it were. We have no wisdom. But what we can do is to go on our knees, to pray, and seek the God of heaven to intervene. And you'll be surprised. As you study and you look at the life of this man, you realize how we have a God that is so miraculously powerful and wonderful and loving, that he reached out to the lost. So here we want to close with the thoughts for us, that we indeed have a loving Father who loves us. and who seek to save us. And if He has saved you, then He wants you to be an ambassador for Him in your life, right? To go and seek the lost, so that, you know, others, by the grace of God, may be saved because you have cared, because you have prayed, and you have the heart of God in you to notice what is going on in the life of the people that is around you. May God help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy mercy in showing to us that we have a loving God, and that You have sought us and found us. And Lord, You have also commissioned us to be an ambassador for Thee, that we may go to a dying world to seek the lost. May Thou help us to learn well the character of the lost, and give to us the power of compassion and wisdom to seek the lost, as Thou hast done so through Thy only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.